listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I tell the future. I tell the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a Monday, especially the day after the NBA free agent frenzy that went down. All sorts of movement from around the league, whether it was Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant or Kemba Walker or Jimmy Butler. So we're going to go around the room, as you mentioned. We're going to get everybody's thoughts on their biggest takeaway from NBA free agency this past weekend. But of course, we start with you, the voice of Vegas.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to take it all in. I don't want to dominate the conversation, so I'll go last. We'll go around the wise guy roundtable first. Brad Powers, I don't want to hear two or three things. I don't want to hear 1.8. I want to hear one thing that if you could only put like in a space capsule, your thoughts from the last 24 hours, what's the one thing?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Nets, who signed Kevin Durant, who signed Kyrie Irving. Nets signed DeAndre Jordan. Reality is, didn't mean that much as far as the title odds for the next year. Maybe just a slight upgrade, RJ.
So when you say next year, you're just doing that for emphasis, not next year or next year.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think you are right on. So let's state it in a more professional, clear way. Brad's looking at me like, what do you mean by that? Just fine. Is that was hilarious. We should have a camera on everyone at all times. That would be great. The Nets, if you're a fan, wowza, you should be so excited. Doesn't change that one iota. So excited. But for this year, what's really changed? Has enough changed that in a material sense, you feel like, yeah, we're in it this year? No. Now, will a team that hasn't had a real winner for quite a while, a team that hasn't had, let's say, a title contender, the Nets, how long has it been? Quite a while.
Yep.
You will almost certainly have a title contender, not this year, upcoming season, next season after that. That is amazing. And if you look at the Knicks, you look at the Lions, just go through all of the kind of unsuccessful teams in all the sports and ask, oh, next year is going to be same as usual, maybe a little bit better, but the year after you're going to be amongst the favorites. Who wouldn't take it? Imagine the Browns fans. They'd take it.
Yep.
Doesn't change. When we bet, though, we're betting usually on a given game or at least the rest of the current season. And the Nets really haven't been upgraded. We actually did analysis on this team. Because to me, what blew my mind, there was a podcast recently. And someone was talking about how bad the Nets are other than Russell. And I thought, how could they be that bad? They made the playoffs. And we went through and we looked at the raw stats. You know, shooting percentage is one that is, you know, a lot of people don't say it's advanced, but it's very important. Fez, correct?
Correct.
It's on your list. And then we got into PER, we got into real plus minus. And the case could be made that there wasn't a single player on the Nets other than Russell. And some could say not even Russell, which seems absurd, which also makes you kind of question the stats, right? When the stats say that that some average quarterback is better than Tom Brady, you got to wonder about the stats.
Yeah.
All right. But I think in general, if you take a blend of the stats, you're going to be somewhere, or the advanced analytics, you're going to be somewhere close. And the case could be made that not a single Nets player was above average, was clearly better than an average NBA player, not replacement level, but an average NBA player. Now, does anyone here going to say, oh, no, objection, this player is significantly better than average on the Nets? Anybody?
You're not getting it from me.
No.
All right. Now, again, everyone out there might not have the numbers in front of them. Look at PER. You look at real plus minus. It really, I mean, you could make a case. The eyeball test is telling you one thing, but the numbers are telling you no player on the Nets from last season is better than average. Okay? Now, Kyrie for Russell. Let's agree Kyrie can go to the basket. He's not, Russell's an outside shooter. That's his strength. He's not going to the rim. And the stat that you want to look at there, I think, is free throw attempts. As a player gets older, you tend to see those free throw attempts drop. Why? Because he doesn't want to go bang down low as much. This is a young player, Russell, that really didn't like that much anytime. So that's limited. Now you got Kyrie who will go to the hoop. Now, we know Kyrie locker room. We'll just say Kyrie locker room at Earth. Whatever you want to say. there's a potential not only disruption, but conflict amongst the team. Now, with Russell, you could say conflict too. Yep. You can just say Snapchat. But it seems like he might have learned from that, right?
Yeah.
And Kyrie seems to be emboldened by, you know, like, oh, Celtics don't like what I'm doing. I'll move to the next place and get a max. And in a weird way, if you got a supermodel girlfriend that doesn't like your style and the next day you go out and got another supermodel girlfriend, it kind of makes sense that you're going to feel emboldened. But the question isn't, was Kyrie right to leave? The question is, will Kyrie change his ways? Has anything happened to make him change his ways? Because you could make the case that Kyrie said, oh, no, thank you for the advice, the chosen one, LeBron. So the best player, maybe the second best player of this era, maybe the second best player ever. Some crazies will say maybe the best player ever. We don't talk to them. But second best ever. He said, you know, we just won a championship. I don't want to hear it from you. Okay? Wow. Then they went to what? The most storied franchise?
Yep.
The Celtics with the best young coach? And he said, I don't want to hear it from you guys either. But he's going to hear it now from the Nets? I don't think so. So to me, upgrade with Kyrie on the court? Other big question marks. And this DeAndre Jordan, I mean, the best thing you could say about him is he was an average player last year.
Yep.
Who was aging rapidly. I'm not sure they're any better when you add it up. Now, I know that's an extreme case about the Nets, but I'm saying not only can we say that they're not better, clearly by a significant margin, that they're not competitive to win a title, I'm saying they're maybe not better at all.
So you think 42 wins is about what you'd expect this year?
Now, is there a win total out yet? If there is, and I do, let's talk about, I'll give you their title odds right now. Title odds, 25, oh, let's go 30-1 right now, looks about right. 30-1. So to me, I wouldn't even consider the Nets at 30-1. And we can check on the win total.
47.5.
47.5.
Those are jersey books, though, I do want to say.
Let's talk a flight.
What? You know, there's a great line in Tweeter and the Monkey Man, which Dylan did off the Traveling Wilburys first album. It says, in Jersey, everything's legal as long as you don't get caught. Which I think since I've spent a few, about 6 weeks of my life in Jersey, there's probably some truth to that. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We got the entire team here running through their biggest takeaway. Jonas, why don't you understand the clock and succinct time. Let's go next to you. What was your big takeaway?
The Knicks backlash, I think, was a little bit overblown.
Okay, meaning that the reactions from the Knicks fans,
and
that's kind of interesting. So he's really taking a shot at Stephen A. Smith. Now, who is the biggest guy at ESPN on air?
Stephen A.
Yeah. Who's the biggest guy on air at Fox Sports Radio?
Colin.
Who does Jonas have a feud with at Fox?
Colin.
But somehow now he's taking a shot at the biggest guy at the other network.
Go ahead. I'm the Kingslayer. What do you want? I mean,
well, you have to slay him.
Weekend overnights isn't cutting yet.
But what do you think? Why?
Okay, I can make the argument that the Knicks did the right thing in not acquiring Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and trading away Kristaps Porzingis. I can make that argument. Porzingis coming off an injury, they didn't know how he was going to be, and there were problems in the locker room, so they traded him. Kyrie Irving was a pain last year when he had to step into a leadership role, and so they didn't want anything to do with that. And Kevin Durant was injured and in his 30s, and they didn't want to wait around a year to see whether or not he was going to be healthy, much like Porzingis. So I just think some of the pushback is...
So you're saying anyone that signed... This is fascinating, because it's not an obvious take. So I love those. You're saying that if you were GM starting a team, let's say there's no, you got your full salary cap and we're doing a draft, okay? And you have the option to take KD with the terms that the Knicks apparently turned down, saying, no, that's too much for us. So it would have been a max, I guess, without the hometown fifth year. You would say, no, thank you. I don't want that.
Me personally, I would have signed him. But I can make the argument that what the Knicks did, there was a strategy behind it. I just think it's a bit of a lazy take to just slam
the
Knicks.
And how would you define the strategy?
I think the strategy, I personally would do it.
No, in the
but
case
I
you're
think,
making here,
but
you know
Knicks,
someone doesn't love their argument when they keep explaining this isn't what I'm thinking.
Okay, or when they get interrupted. But what I was saying is that... What I was saying is that I can make the case that the Knicks looked at this and said, all right, we've got Kristaps Porzingis, who's injured. We don't want to wait around to see whether or not he's going to be healthy. Kyrie Irving was a pain to deal with last year. We're not going to go above and beyond with Kyrie Irving because we don't want him to poison this locker room like he did with the Celtics. And Kevin Durant, we're not really sure if he's going to be healthy or not. I personally would have signed Kevin Durant, but I can understand why the Knicks did not.
Okay, so first off, when it comes to the reporting, you never know what to believe.
Right.
Because sometimes it contradicts itself not that long later. But my understanding in the Knicks situation was that Porzingis went in and said, trade me within 7 days or I'm heading back to Europe. Now, again, this is right at the time where he got traded. That doesn't sound like the Knicks made a decision in that case, right? I guess they could have had a standoff with him. I think if Porzingis was engaged with a team, he'd be one of the best players in the league. I mean, if you were starting a draft from scratch, understanding the rehab is a question mark always. Healthy, he's a top, dozen player in the league? 15?
Yeah, 15.
All right. That's a pretty good player. So I agree. You're always having to weigh with an injury, what is the likelihood the player's going to come back? But whenever you see Golden State being willing to put a fifth year on a guy, and Golden State has their choice of a lot of guys, and if the Knicks are saying no, it is literally Golden State's wisdom against the Knicks' wisdom. And another way to think about it is, let's say I'm the best real estate guy in the country, and I walk in and I say, I will not take this house for $1 million. No, thank you. If the next guy comes in and he says, I'll take it for $1.2 million, that means that, the first person, and I could probably say that a little differently, so let me start it over. If the best guy says, I'll take it for $1.2 and you won't take it for $1 million, the odds of you being right's way off, because the best guy says it's worth even more than what you're being asked to pay. The Knicks were being asked to pay less than Golden State was because they wouldn't have had that fifth year, which quite frankly, at Durant's age, I think would have been a real question mark. So how quickly would Golden State have taken 4 years? They would have done that in a snap.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to wonder, what's the Knicks' alternative? And I get the idea that down the road, there's going to be more. You know, Giannis is coming up, and there's all the. But it's another year of trying. You know, having 41 home games. So I'm going to give Jonas, because apparently this is the first time he's used this, that his The interrupting is what caused him not to be able to make his point as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What a show. What a fun show. Dropping knowledge, belly laughs. Thanks for joining us. Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 102 degrees, and the neon is coursing. Now, I'm going to do Jonas's role and recap the action so far and then put the spotlight back on him. Big debate came up. Brad made a brilliant point. Didn't even have to be debated. Brad, your number one takeaway was in seven words or less?
Yeah, Nets made two big signings.
So you use Yaz, one of your seven words? Seven words.
Nets don't upgrade as far as title odds for next year.
That felt like eight.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
All right. So Nets, 2 years from now, who knows? In fact, we're going to have the projected odds if Kawhi goes to the Lakers and if Kawhi goes to Toronto coming up. And as a kicker, we're going to tell you if the Nets were fully healthy this year, meaning KD, where would they fit in the mix? You're going to be shocked at where the Nets would fit with KD. Now, then we got to Jonas. Some would say that was a mistake. I say he's a key part of the team. And he said, Stephen A. Smith, all you New York crybabies, things ain't so bad. Continue, Jonas.
Yeah, they're just, look, if you are a Knicks fan looking for some hope and you're out there and you're really down on your luck and you're not really all that excited about Julius Randle, you can make the argument that what they did, not trading away Porzingis, who was injured, not giving money to Kyrie Irving, who's a pain in the locker room, and not giving money to an injured Kevin Durant, I can make the argument that I understand the move. I wouldn't have done it, but I can understand why they did it.
Now, the Knicks have done things a certain way in the last 10 years. And what Jonas is saying is,
plan worked, don't deviate.
Don't deviate.
But that assumes the plan worked. Now, I will come to Jonas, or let's just say this. I will affirm Jonas in the following way. The guys on the Ringer NBA show, super insightful, I thought, on the whole aftermath of the day. They said come 2021, so I guess 24 months from now, the Knicks are going to have six players on a rookie deal at that point still, and two max slots open. Now, again, how far back does this go? I mean, if I remember correctly, George Gervin was supposed to come to the Knicks in the late 70s. But it is a situation where some of the moves the Knicks are making don't seem so great right now, but there could be a plan. It just, oh, by the way, we've heard that for almost 20 years, right?
Yeah, 2 years ago, we were all talking about this would be the year that they could get like
exactly
a Kevin Durant or a Kyrie Irving.
And then finally, Brad, the guy stops going to the bar, right? He's thinking, yeah. Tonight could be the night.
Yep.
Then what happens?
Well, when you strike out like I do all the time, you just stop going.
Exactly, at some point. Now, speaking of the Knicks, bottom of the hour, and you think I'm joking here, we have what could be Stephen A. Smith's best friend in New York radio coming on, telling us about Stephen A.'s feelings personally and his own feelings about the Knicks. Okay, Steve Fezzik, we're going to continue straight out of Vegas. What is your biggest takeaway?
Utah Jazz are quietly becoming a contender, RJ.
Did someone put an effect on his voice? Was that your normal way of talking?
The Jazz are a player. Think about this, Jazz, RJ. Now, you don't think about the Utah Jazz and contending for an NBA title, at least not since Stockton left, but I love what they're doing. It's not sexy. They're not adding superstars. Mike Conley, veteran leadership, point guard, solid point guard. They go ahead and acquire
upgrade,
him.
Upgrade, right?
Upgrade, exactly. And now they bring in Bogdanovich from Indiana. Really good shooter. Not a guy that's making any headlines. Not a guy anyone's focusing on. But here's a guy who was arguably Indiana's best player when Oladipo went down at the end of the year, led Indiana still to the number five seed. The Jazz have a nice little team.
I think he's right. I mean, to me, there almost is more of a chasm between the knowledgeable sports fan and the passionate sports fan. There was always a chasm, right? Is in 2000 and 1995, maybe the raw, gutty, you know, in the gut sports fan, emotional, wouldn't read that long two-page article at the back of the USA Today sports section, but the other guy would. The difference now is deep analytics and PER share, win share this, blah, 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 versus still the gut. And the gut guys are almost even more emboldened because of things like Instagram, where things like a GIF on Twitter and the slam dunks and all that. And that's what a lot of people, Brad Powers could be fit into this category, where with Zion, they see that superficial layer and think, oh, I don't like that. But then as you dig deeper, maybe it's not I don't like it. It's, oh, that can be deceiving.
Yeah.
But then as you dig deeper, it's almost like there's a big crust of sugar on the best prime beef ever. There's both. There's the sizzle and the mixed metaphors and the steak. When it comes to Zion, Fez, you're saying no sizzle, but man, there's a lot of meat.
Exactly right. And one of their starters, Joe Ingles, is like the least athletic player you will ever see. But
now you're making your case on Utah now?
Yeah, he's a solid player for Utah that no one can name.
But you said he's the least athletic. What's the good side?
That he just looks unathletic. He's number five at his position and real plus minus, RJ.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Last thing I'll say about the Jazz. I don't remember exactly who said this, but what they said was, and it was someone I respect, that if the Lakers do not land Kawhi, that the Jazz should be the favorite in the West.
Yeah, and I'll back that up. Right now, season win total for the Jazz, third highest at 53.5 of any team in the league. Third highest, only behind the Lakers and the Bucks.
By the way, it should be noted that Steve Fezzik has a vested interest in this because while you were gone last week, RJ, he jumped all over Sleepy J, one of our producers, and conned him into a season-long bet on the Jazz.
You know something? In a weird way, I can't imagine the Darwinian slaughter that would happen if I wasn't here to protect people from Fezzik. I mean,
Darwinian.
All right, we got Stephen A's buddy coming up, but real quick, producer Daryl has a take on his biggest takeaway.
My biggest takeaway is with the stalemate right now and us trying to figure out where Kawhi is going to go, the Lakers are missing out on a lot of things right now. I mean, I'm watching people sign on other teams, people like Patrick Beverley. I'm watching D'Angelo Russell go places. And in the meanwhile, my team is just sitting there. So that is really bothering me, even though they pushed all their chips in for the big fish.
Lakers being Daryl's team. Here's what I think. We sat here with a list of free agents last week, and we said, here's the top tier if the Lakers got as their number three, which would be amazing. Here's a bottom tier that would be a disappointment. Unless I'm mistaken, the only player left on that list is Kawhi. The Lakers wouldn't put themselves in this situation unless they had an alternative plan, meaning it's going to be three, you know, I don't know how the math works, $10, $12 million players or whatever it is. They must have decided amongst this list of A-plus free agents or A, let's say, A-plus or A, we would take any of them. But if we can't get them, we'd rather go the other route and get two or three good players but not great players. So my guess is they've got a clear plan. Though, again, it matters how much of a Lakers front office guy you are. A lot of people made them out to be idiots. Obviously, the moves in the last week or so has been positive for the Lakers. If they land Kawhi, and we're going to talk about the actual odds, but I can say this. Lakers with Kawhi would be the second biggest favorite in the history of the NBA, whereas the various Golden State teams recently were all minus 150 and above. We think this season with Kawhi that the Lakers would be in that minus 150 range. So literally better than Michael Jordan and the Bulls. It's not a certain thing, but I think it's something certainly worth watching and taking, rolling the dice on.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Recapping day one of NBA free agency, all of our biggest takeaways so far, except for one, the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
This is kind of like the cliffhanger at the end. who shot JR? I had shot for dead, metaphorically, the Golden State Warriors. I thought that it was nostalgia. It was childish thinking. Oh, they won a lot in the past. They might win tomorrow. No. But I didn't fully understand the salary cap, and I still don't. And it really dawns on me, you can't really understand the NBA unless you understand the salary cap. Not every nuance, but generally. And you need to understand a team's willingness to spend beyond it. Because the repeater tax is so onerous, so draconian. Yeah, it sucks, the repeater tax. Most people aren't willing to go past that cap those multiple years. So when Durant left, I thought, well, look at this team. Without Durant, without Klay, it ain't much. This Russell move, on many levels, I thought, multiple levels, was brilliant. One, it's a stand-in for Klay. Now, is he as good as Klay, Russell? No. As good as Deep? No. But man, oh man, if you had to replace Klay with someone, he's probably in the top 10. That position, that outside shooter. That. Now you might say, okay, RJ, but you know, even then, Golden State's not all, you know, really a title contender. So what's the point? Here's the point, and Colin brought this up today, right on target. If Golden State does poorly up to the trade deadline, you call it a lost season if you're the Warriors, you trade Russell, you get a real chip back, an asset. And then next year, Klay's back, we're fine. But let's say that you have a pretty good year, fifth seed or so, moving into the trade deadline. You stay pat, you keep moving with Russell. And then when does Klay come back? Colin today was talking about April. I'm really going to look to see what the consensus is. But let's say even the start of the playoffs. Now, if they can find a way for Klay and Russell to play on the court at the same time, this is a team, all other things equal, that without Durant swept the conference finals.
Yep.
So if you add Russell to that, however they make that work, now you might have the best team in the NBA. So what Golden State has done is both take care of the now and set themselves up for the later. And as skeptical as I was, there's nothing you can say but,
my God, the genius of that.
Give it to the Warriors. Thumbs up.
All right, what about the NBA title odds? Who now are the favorites, according to Vegas?
All right, Brad, let's go through them quick. Who right now, the dust is mostly settled except for Kawhi.
Yeah, Lakers still the favorite, plus 260. $100 wins you 260, Lakers, favorite. Followed by the Bucks, 8-1. 76ers, Raptors, and Warriors are all tied for third. 12-1 for the 76ers, Raptors, and Warriors. Then the Clippers, 13-1. Rockets, 15-1.
Oh, Rockets fading. Now, yeah. Fez, you had an amazing point about today is Canada Day. Now, when he said that, I looked at him and said, who cares? Why? Quickly.
Because it is a national celebration day in Canada. If Kawhi knew he was going to stay at Toronto, this would be the perfect day to announce it.
So I agree with that. But if he doesn't announce it, this would be the perfect day to announce it or not announce it. Or I guess the way to say it is perfect day to announce it, but not the perfect day to say, no, I'm leaving. If the whole day goes by and he doesn't announce it, I don't think it's a good sign. Quickly, odds on, 20 seconds literally, where is he going, current odds?
Yeah, these are going on and off the board, but the latest updated odds, Clippers even, Raptors plus 150. Not sure I agree with this. Lakers 6-1, where will Kawhi go?
Well, let's just say that those are probably off the board. From everything I'm hearing, and that's what they do, they take these on and off the board based on information, et cetera. I think it's Lakers or Toronto. My gut feeling is he's leaning to the Lakers. If so, I would have to then pay Jonas. Oh, my gosh.